What is going on, Nashville, Middle Tennessee, wherever it is that you hang out here with us on 104.5 The Zone? We appreciate you guys who have spent your time with us from 10 to 1 today. We are broadcasting live from Pine Creek Golf Course. The clubhouse is just emptied out. I guess everybody's getting out on the golf course right now. It's jam-packed in here for a minute. Very festive out here raising money for Tunnel 2 Towers, the golf tournament, the fifth annual golf tournament that we are pleased to be a part of. And, of course, anytime we're out on the road, it's courtesy of our friends at Two Rivers Ford, powered by Ford, driven by people. All right. So we have teased this out long enough. Actually, I'm gonna keep teasing it out. The Padres fan punching the Rockies fan in the face. I'm going to get to that in a second. But, Lucas, we had Jimmy Wyatt on. Jim Wyatt of Tennessee Titans Online. I always want to say Titans Online, but they changed it. They finally bought the domain name for TennesseeTitans.com. I wonder what that legally looked like. Anyway, so Jimmy and I are talking about messed up travel plans. And Jim brought up that this would be the first Vanderbilt, Tennessee game that he will have missed since, did he say 1976? I didn't think Wyatt was that old.
That's incredible.
78. Okay, so let's not age Jimmy more than necessary. But he's not going to be able to make his first Vandy, Tennessee game since 1978 because of this Patriots game in Foxborough. And I said to him that I'm going to be able to make the game, but I have a schedule conflict. Lucas, do you have Madison Blevins' number?
Yes.
Because I think we may need to call her and prank her on air. Because I aired a little bit of laundry. I said, in fact, can we do that right now while I'm talking about this? We're going to call Madison Blevins. She is not expecting this call. She is not aware of this call. She has been outed in a group text that I have with her that we've been discussing her wedding arrangements on air. So now I think it would be appropriate. Watch, she's not going to pick up the phone, and this bit's going to be all for naught. But, like, who schedules a wedding in the middle of November? I'm sorry. She's a Vols reporter, by the way. They play Vanderbilt that weekend. It's rivalry week. Now, I understand that, and I love her fiancé. I love Colton. She says she's at lunch with her grandmother in Charleston. I don't care. We're calling her. Grandma, I need 3 minutes of her time. 3 minutes of her time today. And hopefully Grandma's down for the radio bit. I think Lucas has got her. We're gonna put her on blast. But I'm like legitimately upset with Madison because I understand that she's scheduling this around Colton's minor league baseball career, which of course is important. And I think he pitched last night. So I hope that went well for him. I did not happen to check the score. But I've got Lucas on Zoom. I'm out here at Pine Creek, but I've got my iPad set up on Zoom, and I'm watching Lucas like squirm around on the phone. So I assume Madison is just giving him a tongue lashing. But I would like to yell at her. This is a Tennessee Vols reporter for WBIR that is scheduling her wedding on rivalry week. It's a tough one.
Madison,
in November.
Madison wanted me to tell you to eat it. She is not going to come on the show.
She's not going to. This is unbelievable, the disrespect.
Normally I'd go at her, but she's at lunch with her grandmother.
Wait, I don't care. Listen, that's an excuse.
It's a good excuse.
Okay, so my excuse to miss her wedding is that I'm going to be in Boston for the New England Patriots game. What do you mean excuse?
It's an equally good excuse.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. No, it's not a good excuse because I want to be there for my friend. Well, both of my friends. I love Colton. I love Madison. But to schedule a wedding in the middle of football season is honestly a fireable offense.
She's with her grandmother. When's the last time you called your grandmother, Buck?
On Mother's Day, because I'm a good grandson. Don't come after me like this. What are you doing? All right? Simmer down back there before I exit the Zoom or I'll call Darren Bates in the middle of the radio show. I'll have him just try to start cussing again.
Don't you put that evil on me.
No, I did enough to you Wednesday. I cannot believe she's texted me. I see the tweets that I'm getting from people who are in the circle of Madison Blevins. Madison says, I don't even know what you're saying, but I'm not giving you the satisfaction, so eat it, Buck. That's all right. The better target is the one that can't defend themselves. That is what Madison Blevins is. That's what Will Bowling is for this radio show every day, which I could do if I wanted to because he's sitting beside me making sure that the camera is on me. But I will reserve my venom in this particular segment for Mads. Like, should I go? Should I try to make this work?
Should because you go to the wedding?
Should I go to the wedding and try and fly out? Like, I would have to fly out of Nashville. She's at least having it in Nashville, so I can't hate her for that.
Well, how critical is your presence at this wedding?
My presence is, I mean, listen, I think I'm a big deal, so I think that I would consider my presence critical.
What's your role in this wedding?
My role in the actual events of the wedding are non-existent. She would not put me in front of a microphone to do a reading. I don't even know if it's in, like, a church for an organized religion. I'm not aware of what denomination Madison and her boyfriend or her fiance now might be. So it's not do or die if I'm in it. Like, I'm not a groomsman. So, I mean, the world wouldn't end if I didn't go to the wedding. But I would like to be there for my friend. But also, what the hell? It's a way game. What are you doing? It doesn't make sense to me. So, like, should I try to make this work, Lucas? You are aware of me and Madison's relationship. You understand that the only time she comes on the radio show when she's been scheduled is so that she can publicly fat shame me. That's about the only reason that she takes advantage of the platform, not to promote her own career, not to promote her work at WBIR, but to tell me that I look fat in the Zoom. Neck fat, Kirby says. Get the hell out of here. Go smoke a cigarette. He's the worst. He's the only person in the world I would say, go smoke a cigarette, Kirby. Get out of here.
I love Madison, but I have a certain feeling about fall weddings that I have told several of my close friends that I just will not be at their wedding if it's in the fall.
Oh, no. You were very upset about the, like, just the concept, not at Mads in particular.
Yeah, just the concept in general. Yeah.
Okay, well, now is the ability for you to voice your complaints. Why are you upset with people like Mads? We won't necessarily put it all on Mads, but people like Mads who would have their wedding in the fall.
It's people that claim to be, I guess, either sports fans or whatever you want to call it, and then schedule a Saturday fall wedding. Like, you can't have both. You can't do both. They're mutually exclusive. Like, I had a buddy schedule a fall wedding during a Tennessee-Mississippi State game in 2019, a self-proclaimed diehard Vols fan, and he had no issues with doing this. And I told him, I'm not going to your wedding. I didn't go.
I can't believe she declined to come on the radio show. I can't believe the ego in that. What she's texting, but now she's nervous. What am I missing as I'm eating lunch with my grandmother, LOL?
Now you got her thinking about you while she's eating lunch with her grandmother.
That's right. Head on a swivel, kid. No one's safe.
But, like, spring weddings are better anyway.
Well, okay, but Colton can't be there in the spring. He's a baseball player. Like, the reasons that they've moved the wedding, I am understanding of. Just because everybody else's lives revolve around football doesn't mean that theirs have to.
It sounds like the only option here is to just not get married, just not have one.
Who are you telling? You're going to tell Mads that?
No,
you're going to call
her back
and
no,
say,
no,
like,
no.
I don't think you should do this. Don't
no,
go through.
Not doing that.
Lucas is going to show up uninvited to the wedding, say, I object.
Yeah, I don't have a dog in this fight. I was not invited to this wedding.
On the grounds that you should not have this wedding during football season, I object.
Anybody that knows me closely knows that I will not come to their wedding if it's on a Saturday in the fall.
I'm so delighted that she is thinking about this whilst at lunch with her grandmother, but not willing to participate in the bit. This is on her. I don't know what else I can say.
She tweeted, I don't listen to his peasant show, so I don't know what's even being said, to be honest.
Well, don't worry, Mads. There's a podcast. I'll text it to you after the show. We will ask Coach Mack whether I should attend Madison Blevins' wedding. Coming up next, we'll get into some different stuff with Coach Mack, because I think this Aaron Rodgers storyline, like, basically how you have to manage a superstar as an NFL head coach, I think that's fascinating. I think Mack, as a former NFL head coach himself, will have particularly good insights. We'll talk about the matchup that he's most excited for on the Titans schedule and basically what he's looking for at Titans rookie minicamp. That'll be a good time with Coach Dave McGinnis. I should pull the group chat away from my face because now it's just being blown up with things that I should or should not be doing on live radio. But I don't care. You should have come on the radio show. That's all I'm going to say. Oh, we, by the way, are out here at, we're always out here. I mean, we stay out here in these radio streets. I made Will Bowling laugh so hard he dropped something that looked to be important. I hope you don't get fired. We're out here at Pine Creek Golf Course for the 5th annual Tunnel Two Towers Golf Tournament. Tunnel Two Towers has had an impact on thousands of families, and here locally, they've paid off mortgages for both Hendersonville's Officer Bristol, who was whose father was just on the radio show. It was a very good story and a very good cause to get behind, to be able to hear Dan Bristol's accounting of his son who was tragically killed in the line of duty, and a Gold Star family in Fairview, Tennessee. They allow the opportunity for anonymity, which I think is, because some people struggle with the idea of asking for help. I think that's one of the most underrated things about this, is that they will provide you assistance without you necessarily asking for it, whether that be for pride reasons or, I mean, because there's a fair amount of embarrassment in something like that. So I always respect the people who choose to go through that kind of process anonymously, because I know that would be something that would be hard for anything to do. We'll also talk about the NFL's hottest selling ticket. I had a bit of a reality check. Do we do that here, or do we do that before the polls, Lucas? It's up to you.
Before the polls.
Before the polls. All right, I'll tell you what kind of reality check I had, because The Athletic did a really good article about the hottest tickets of the 2021 NFL season. And I'll tease it this way, okay? It's the first time in my life I've ever looked at prices for an NFL ticket. And I don't know if that makes me sound like a snob. Well, I mean, I do know that it makes me sound like a snob. Like, I'm very, very much aware that it makes me sound like very unrelatable and very much a D-bag. But I looked at this for the first time in my life, reading this article, and I was floored. I had a reality check. We'll tell you about that more later. But in the meantime, Coach Mac, coming up next. I'm Buck Rising. It's 104.5 The Zone. Well, I made it back just in time to hear the music. It is that time each and every Friday to have the great one, Coach Dave McGinnis of Titans Radio, on to talk all things ball. Mac, what's up, brother?
Buck, how you doing, man? You at the golf tournament? Is that what I understand?
I am at the 5th annual Tunnel Two Towers Golf Tournament, thanks to our friends at Buddy Allen Carpet One. Yeah, it's a beautiful day. We've just been going on, Mac, though, because the NFL schedule came out. The Titans know where they're going to be for all 17 regular season games next year. You and Mike Keith and Titans Radio, the whole crew, Rhett Bryan, Amy Wells, I'm sure are very excited. By the way, Coach Mac, brought to us as always by Farm Bureau Health Plans. Healthcare coverage from Farm Bureau Health Plans is like an extra set of pads when you need them the most. They've been protecting Tennesseans since 1947. Mac, the Patriots game at New England, it's scheduled for Thanksgiving, the weekend after Thanksgiving. So is Madison Blevins' wedding on that Saturday. And I'm trying to figure out how much, and I love Mad. She's a dear friend, and I wish her and Colton all the success in the world, but I don't know if I'm going to be able to make both, Mac. Would you try and go to this wedding if you were me?
Where's she getting married?
She's getting married in Nashville.
You absolutely have to go.
Ah, damn it. Oh, it's gonna be a tight squeeze, Mac. I'm gonna have to fly out Saturday night.
Look, Madison's getting married. Madison's one of my favorites. She's the best. And Dara doesn't need to go by herself. You need to go to that wedding. You'll get to New England on time. I promise you. Go to the wedding, and even if you're a little late to the game, you'll make it. You'll be fine.
Okay. Well, Coach Mac has spoken. It is decided. I'm gonna have to rearrange my travel schedule because, of course, we do love Madison Blevins. She's an absolute stud, and I'm looking forward to that. Just as I'm looking forward to actual football practice this weekend in some form or fashion, Mac, Titans rookie minicamp taking place. And from your perspective as a head coach, a former head coach, and as many years in the league as you've spent, what is the main accomplishment for a coaching staff to be targeting for the rookies, given that it's probably their first time in the facility, first time out on the team's practice field together as a class? What are you as a head coach trying to accomplish this weekend?
Yeah, well, first of all, yeah, just keep your powder dry. This won't be a practice. I mean, you got plenty of time for that.
Yeah.
You know, these guys are just getting acclimated. They're still in Zoom meetings too, right?
Right.
Yeah. Now, what they'll do? I mean, they'll go through, you know, some of the procedures. Just, I mean, these guys are still, you know, trying to find their way around. I mean, regardless of whether they're drafted in the first round or they were signed as a free agent, I mean, they're coming brand new into the National Football League. You know, they don't know whether they're foot or horseback right now. And so they're going to try to get these guys, you know, acclimated to what they're doing, acclimated to the surroundings. You'll have some individual. You know, we were always very careful, you know, especially in the later years that I was in the league, because, you know, these guys, especially, you know, this year, I mean, they have not been getting football ready. And veterans in the offseason, they know how to work out on their own to get NFL football ready. These guys don't. And so they're not now. So you don't want to run them. You don't want to risk any soft tissue things. Yeah, I'm looking forward to. I mean, yeah, and then plus, you know, if I were coaching, what you look forward to is how quick they can they absorb what you're doing. What, you know, what's their attention span like, you know, just and how they kind of conduct themselves around. And it's just getting acclimated. And it's a good thing to get them there. We always like to bring them in, just like what Mike Vrabel is doing without the vets there. It just needs to be them, you know, because they're all in the same climate, the same atmosphere. You know, none of them know anything yet. So they're all starting off brand new. And the important thing is that they get very comfortable. And then once they start the off season there and are able to learn what it takes to get ready physically to play the National Football League. So what I'm looking forward to when I go out there, I'm just going to look because I haven't seen these guys.
Yeah.
You know, normally I would have been to the combine, would have had my eyes on them physically, you know. And so I'm just looking, you know, forward to looking at them, you know, physically and the guys that I watched on tape, see if some of that stuff translates. But that's what this weekend is for, is more indoctrination into what you are doing.
Coach Dave McGinnis here with us on 104.5 The Zone. I love the phrase, keep your powder dry, because I want it to be football practice so badly, Mac. I'm mostly excited to get out there to see everybody who, you know, we are normally around during football season, but it is important to note that it is not a practice. It's just a part of the acclimation process for the rookies. I'm excited nonetheless. I just want some kind of football for me to be able to talk about, Mac. That's all I want.
Oh, absolutely. And it's a, you know, the draft was, you know, doing the draft was exciting. You know, the schedule, you know, show that we did, by the way, your partner Lucas did a great job for us.
Killed
you know,
it.
During that process, he and Will Bowling, you know, did a great job for us, you know, all through the presentation of what we were doing. But all of it's exciting, and it's all on a timeline, though. And Mike Vrabel is one of the best at knowing how to pace his team because he was a player. He was a player at the highest level, and he knows how to pace his team. So this, as I said, this is just the first step. I am looking forward to it. You know, I'm looking forward to being able to get out there in person and just look at the guys and just kind of, you know, scope it out, take a look at them, see what's going on.
100%. Mac, speaking of pace, this is going to be the first season where there are 17 regular season games. Now, you talk about Vrabel understanding pace as well as anybody in the National Football League, understanding that his time as a player has given him this knowledge, this just basic fundamental understanding of what his guys are going through on a week-to-week basis. I know you haven't yourself been through a 17-game regular season schedule because it's the first time that they've changed the NFL schedule in 44 years. And you've been around a while, Mac, but not that long. That's okay. You're allowed to have some kind of knowledge gap there. But if you're looking at this as a 17-game marathon, I understand fans are just going to look at it as one additional game. But I think this matters a lot for certain positions, particularly backup quarterback. Is that kind of how you would look at the roster, understanding that it's going to be a longer slog, or is there something else that kind of catches your attention about the expanded schedule?
Well, the first thing you look at the expanded schedule. I mean, you know, clearly you always look and you see, you know, what your away trips are in relationship to what, you know, what your home. You're going to have 9 home games this year for the Titans, which is a very cool thing. But, you know, the Titans, as you well know, are traveling 4,000 more miles than they did because they've got 2 long West Coast trips. And yep. Then you've got to look at the games that follow those long trips. All of that stuff is you have to take on a week-to-week basis. And as I said, Mike Vrabel, his load management ability is really good. And he is probably one of the best off-schedule guys that I've been around. Jeff Fisher was awesome at it. He really was. And Mike Vrabel is really, really good at it, too. As to being able to, that's the first thing I would always look at as a head coach. When are my Sundays? When are my Mondays? When are my Thursdays? What's my off schedule look like? You know, who am I playing coming off of a bye? Who's got extended rest, you know, coming to me and looking at see if I've got any 3-game stretches, either at home or away. Because if you know if you've got a 3-game stretch at home, then you're going to pay the price of a 3-game stretch on the road sometimes. We don't have any of those. I like the pace of this schedule because it's two and two. You've got some long road trips in it. But all of that stuff – and then, Buck, it's very important that all of that stuff is managed depending on the health of your team at the time.
Without question.
That's what's extremely, extremely important. And so, you know, the better coaches are going to handle it better than some that don't know how, but the better coaches handle the 16 game season better than the not so good coaches. So it'll be the same. I've got complete confidence in Mike Vrabel. I've watched him work. I know how he handles this kind of stuff. And so he'll be on top of it.
And, of course, you can hear Mike Vrabel on with Coach Mack and the rest of the Titans radio crew because they took the schedule release show that the entire Titans radio crew did on 104.5 The Zone. They turned it into an OTP, an official Titans podcast that you can go check out. Subscribe, rate, and review wherever it is that you get your podcast. Mack, we'll have plenty of time to talk about the schedule once football season is actually here. Sure. I don't want to get into the games in too much detail. With that understanding, but is there one game on this schedule, one team on this schedule, understanding that all of the teams are going to look a lot different when they play them in 2021 as they did in 2020? Is there one game that pops to you as being of particular intrigue or importance for this football team?
Well, it's always the opener for me. I mean, okay. Because that's important. You know, plus it's the Birdnals, you know, and the Birdnals fired me, so that's always important when we play them. You know, when the Birdnals fired me and Jeff Fisher hired me, he said, every time we play them and beat them, you'll get a game ball. So I've got several game balls on my wall from the Birdnals.
Look at you. You're glowing. So,
yeah. But anyway, yeah, but it's the opener. The opener is always important, you know, to me, because everything else, you know, is just conjecture. But after the opener, then it starts to get real, and then you're going to have stretches. You know, they're going to be very important. I think that week 6 to 10 stretch is going to be a big, big stretch.
Yeah.
You know, for this football team. But it's conjecture at this point as to what's what, because depending on the health of your team and the health of the opponent when you get there, that's going to be very important too. But the opener to me, Buck, has always held immense interest, because all my years of coaching, that's the one you get ready for.
Yeah, no, it's the one that you have several months to get your stuff in gear for, and finally we'll have that at the first time the Titans have opened at home since 2017. Be the first time for Mike Vrabel and his crew opening up at Nissan Stadium. Mac, I wanted to ask you a question about something else that's going on in the league right now. I don't know how closely you followed this Aaron Rodgers situation, what's going on with him in Green Bay, and basically not publicly declaring that he doesn't want to play for the Packers anymore. But I was listening to Lewis Riddick on ESPN the other day, who has personnel experience and obviously played in the league. Lewis basically talking about the process that Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers went through to draft his replacement with Jordan Love was sound. It was the correct one. It's just the way that they've handled it in the interim that's kind of seen this thing blown up. I don't know how many players that you would qualify as superstars that you handled as a head coach. I know you've been around several throughout the course of your coaching career, but do NFL teams need to basically acquiesce to the demands of their star players to keep everything afloat, or is that not something that you subscribe to?
Well, first of all, I mean, I haven't followed it very closely, but you are right. I mean, I've been around, I've been on teams with 8 Hall of Famers and so, yeah, and other people, but when I was making decisions, and especially, you know, if I had a veteran player on the team and I was, here's my thoughts on this. I think all of this could have been subsided quite a bit if they would have just said, hey, look, we're thinking about drafting a quarterback here. You know, yeah, we're thinking about bringing a quarterback in, you know, not that you're in any danger of leaving here, but just want to let you know that this draft we might be bringing, we probably are going to bring a quarterback in here. You know, I mean, I think that and the quarterback position especially, and especially somebody of Aaron Rodgers' prominence. I mean, look, the guy's a future Hall of Famer. I mean, he's been everything there. And so why wouldn't you just say, you know, if you've got a professional relationship with your players, which you should have, as an organization, just go ahead and give them that notice, heads up. Because let me say this, all of my years of coaching, I had to give some players some news they didn't like, but as long as I was honest with them, then they accepted the honesty and they appreciated the upfront. What I never subscribed to, I learned this early from Mike Ditka, I mean, because just be honest with the players. They don't have to agree or like what you're going to tell them, but at the same time, they all appreciate honesty.
Yeah, I think that's one of the – and Coach Dave McGinnis of Titans Radio here with us on 104.5 The Zone is always presented by our friends at Farm Bureau Health Plans. Mac, is there an example of a team, whether you played, whether you coached against them, whether you played against them during your time coaching in the league across several decades at this point? Is there an example that the audience would be able to resonate with as like precedence for this Aaron Rodgers situation, a situation where a team maybe wasn't necessarily upfront with the players and it ended up biting them in the butt? Because I don't know if this player empowerment concept is something that's new to the NFL, something that I'm just looking at as a product of recency bias, or this is something that's been around the league for a long time. Is there an example like that that comes to the top of mind when you think about your time in the league?
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, when we were there with Walter Payton, I mean, that's a pretty prominent player, right?
Sure. Yeah.
We were getting ready to draft Neil Anderson in the first round out of Florida. And, you know, we told Walter we're probably going to take a running back here because Walter was, you know, entering into the final stages of his career. And he said, fine, bring him in. And I've told that story before. Neil Anderson was our number one pick. Great player. Came in there. He wasn't going to play in front of Walter. He would play. He would spell him some. All right. It's different than a quarterback, though, because you don't, and Neil Anderson wanted to play so bad. He said, look, put me at special teams. Let me be a gunner. So he was a gunner for his first year, and it was a really good one. But, yeah, we told Walter that.
Coach Dave McGinnis with us on behalf of Farm Bureau Health Plans, of course, Titans Radio, providing exceptional coverage as always. Mac, with Caleb Farley, and I know you're not on Instagram because you're smarter than the rest of us. You're not on Twitter. You're not on Instagram. But Caleb Farley posted on his Instagram story yesterday. He's getting fitted for his helmet. He's getting fitted for
What's
his shoulder
going
pads.
On?
And he is he's chirping a little bit at the idea of that anybody who wants the smoke can come get the smoke, basically. He's excited to be out there. And you saw AJ, well, you didn't see, but because you're not on Twitter, AJ Brown basically saying, let your play do the
Hello?
Talking for you.
Hello?
Is this
a legitimate show? Hello?
Wait, I'm
Hello?
Sorry. Is this Madison Blevins?
Wait, is this a legit show or what's going on?
Mac, deal with this. We have a terrorist that's infiltrated the radio show. Is this Madison Blevins on while I'm trying to talk bowl with Coach Mac?
It is. And the only reason I'm coming on is because you are talking to Coach Mac because he's the man. He runs this show.
Madison, you can interrupt the show anytime I'm on here, and so we can go ahead, Buck, and just sit there. You and I'll talk. It's great to talk to you, Madison. Congratulations on your upcoming wedding. Buck asked me at the start of this segment whether he should go to the wedding and or go to the New England game. I said do both, but you have to go to Madison's wedding. So congratulations, Madison, and Buck needs to be there so that Daryl doesn't have to go alone. And I'm very, very happy for you if your upcoming wedding, and you and I, we could probably do a really good show. Buck could go do something else.
We could. Let's boot him off of here, and I'll take over as host, and we'll just talk. But, Coach Mac, it is great to hear your voice, but the funny thing out of all of this is that Buck actually thinks he's invited to my wedding. Buck is not invited to my wedding. So this is uncomfortable.
That makes it even better for me because he was all perplexed about going to the wedding and you didn't even invite him, so that's even better. Now I know Dara's invited to the wedding, but not Buck.
Right. Dara, a lot of people are. Buck is not. He did not make the cut. I'm sitting here in Charleston with my grandmother celebrating her 80th birthday, and I'm getting all these messages that apparently Buck is talking about me on air and about my wedding, but it's just really awkward because he's not even invited to my wedding. So I don't know where it was lost in translation. I don't know what happened, but Buck, I mean, I apologize that this is how you have to find out that I guess you don't even have to worry about it.
No. You're right, because the invitation came in the mail to my home, but obviously it's for my girlfriend and not for me. Mac is being so diplomatic about this. I'm foaming at the mouth that you've just interrupted one of the most important segments in the radio show throughout the course of the week and just wrecking the entire proceedings. I hope you're proud of yourself.
Madison, you know how happy it makes me that you did this. I mean, it makes me so happy that you did this. And this is the best. And I also tell your mother, Coach Mac says happy birthday. Buck didn't say happy birthday to your grandmother, but I will.
I will. You guys are the best. I'll let you get back. I know you have a job to do, but just just a friendly reminder, Buck, you do not need to worry about November 27th. Dara does. The invitation was to her, not to you. So I'm really sorry you had to find that out on air. You guys have a great show.
Madison Blevins, everybody.
Yes, Mac, you're the best.
WBIR. All right, Mac, she's exhausted all the time that we had. I appreciate you being willing to entertain our ridiculousness. Coach Mac, as always, presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans. Brother, I'll see you out there on Saturday.
All right, see you, Buck. See you guys.
Oh, God. We'll come back and wrap up this train wreck of a radio show live from Pine Creek Golf Course. I'm Buck Rising. It's 104.5 The Zone. What the hell is this radio show today, by the way? What have we just done for the last 3 hours? Been an absolute mess here on 104.5 The Zone. Kirby thought I was talking to him. No, Kirby, this is just how I do radio. No, I'm talking about the music. Oh, what a fun time. Anytime I can hang out with Kirby and with Rich and with Will and harass Will Bowling from Zoom and then have Madison Blevins just completely infiltrate the Zoom call. Well, she didn't even get in the Zoom. Lucas, I don't look at my phone while I'm talking. I probably should, because then I would have a better idea of what's going around. But how did you try and pull that off without telling me? Because I was legitimately disoriented. I thought like a woman had snuck into the Zoom or something like that, or somebody stolen a microphone here at Pine Creek Golf Course. I was disoriented.
Well, she called me.
Oh, did she?
Yeah, I didn't like set that up or anything. Rich did text me, and I noticed it after the fact. Rich texted me at 12:30 saying Madison says to call her, and I didn't even notice his text until I saw the lines light up, and it was Madison.
I'm being plotted against. People are actively working against me having any kind of professionalism or any semblance of professionalism from 10 to 1. But it's all right. We've made it. Do we want to talk about this Rockies fan getting punched in the face yesterday?
I think we have a journalistic obligation to talk about it.
It's the funniest damn thing. It's too bad that we've already done the dumbest thing in sports this week, every Wednesday. But I don't know how many of you saw this video, this Padres fan. It was Wednesday night game. So the video went viral yesterday. It made it to my Twitter timeline yesterday. But there's a video. It's a Rockies game at Coors Field. There's a Padres fan, and he's clearly incensed about something. All you see in the video is this guy making a beeline for the dude decked out in Rockies gear. He cocks back and just lays a vicious haymaker on the right side of this dude's face. The Rockies fan, down, out cold, like down bad.
His glasses go like 10 rows back.
Flying, and he's got, you know, his friends have to catch him there, and immediately people pile on top of the Padres fan who just swung on him. Apparently, this is the thing, and I get all my news from TMZ Sports because this is what kind of person I am. But there was a spokesman for the Denver Police Department told TMZ that no arrests were made, explaining that the person who threw the first punch was contacted by police. However, the person struck did not want to press charges. Why? You just got publicly embarrassed for the entire internet to see, getting knocked out cold. That's the first thing I would do. I'm one of these, you know, don't hit me, I'll tell my dad he's a lawyer types.
Right. Because you're a coward. I respect this. I respect this guy not pressing charges. He took the hit. He was absolutely crumpled, and he said, okay, that's enough of that.
No. I am a coward 1,000%. If you hit me, I am going to have somebody sue you. That's how I handle.
My dad was in politics.
That's right. He was an ambassador, damn it. I'm going to get you. Expect the paperwork in the mail. All right, let's do the polls before I wreck this radio show any more than I have.
The polls have closed and the votes have been tallied. It's the segment where bias takes over and nuance goes to die. Now, here's your favorite Buck Rising Show daily correspondent, Lucas Polzica.
Take it away, bud.
Do the Titans have a slot receiver? Yes or no? 58% say no.
So I had some interesting information emailed to me that we'll talk about on the radio show on Monday about the Titans wide receiver core and production in the slot. So that's a tease over the weekend. Enjoy.
That is indeed a tease.
Oh, yeah.
Will Deshaun Watson play an NFL snap in 2021? 72% say no. I have a hard time picturing that.
I don't know how. Like, the Deshaun Watson thing is so muddled, so messed up, so just tangled in not just sexual assault allegations and improper behavior, but the legal system, I don't know how they get him on a football field. Because if he clears stuff legally, doesn't the NFL still have the ability to just basically suspend him at will or put him on the commissioner's exempt list at will?
And Tony Busby has consistently maintained there will be no settlements. Nobody's interested in settlements. It doesn't seem like there is a quick solution to this anytime soon, at least from the perspective of Deshaun Watson.
No, because here's the biggest issue. Like, the only opinion that I'm willing to have on the Deshaun Watson thing until the legal process plays out, because I'm not going to comment on him, on the women who are accusing him. Like, I just think that's a path that I don't want to go down. But the stupidity by Deshaun Watson to get out there publicly on his social media accounts and say, I did not do this, I look forward to clearing my name, and then having it all blow up in his face after the fact. Like, I think it's the supreme arrogance of what Watson did, that categorical denial, when there was clearly something amiss there. Enough that 22 women are willing to file civil suits against him, and his legal team has to trot out almost a dozen massage therapists that he didn't have a bad experience with as a defense.
The denials came like two lawsuits in, and then like 20 more followed.
Yeah, he got buried because he got cocky, I guess. I mean, again, I say I guess. I don't want to get into speculation. I don't know what Deshaun Watson was thinking. I just think that was dumb. I don't think he's going to be out. I don't think he's going to play professional football next year. I really don't.
What should the Titans' free agent priorities be? Tight end, wide receiver, or edge rusher? 57% say wide receiver. 35% say tight end. 8% say edge.
Edge is the most likely position that you can add in free agency. Now, Jimmy Wyatt has been consistent about this, whether it's in his mailbag to kind of assuage the angst that Titans fans have about their pass-catching group right now. But he said it on the radio show, too. He said, I don't think they're done yet. And, you know, Jimmy would know, because Jimmy gets the information before any of us, because he is a Titans employee. So if Jimmy is alluding to that, I am willing to believe that there is something coming down.
As far as tight end, there's just nothing out there.
No, you got to trade for somebody. I mean, at this point, if you're going to add a player that's not an undrafted rookie free agent scrub, you got to go out and trade for somebody.
Free agent scrub.
I mean, listen, I should not say that, because their athletic achievements are far and away above anything that I will ever athletically achieve in my life. Although I'm taking tennis lessons tomorrow, and I'm going to hit the clay hard. I'm going to be Rafa out here before long. I'm going to put the headband on. I'm going to kill it. But outside of that, yeah, they've done a lot more than me athletically.
Have you ever been in a fight at a sporting event? 86% say no.
We really didn't utilize this topic enough today. I think we could have gotten some good calls on it. I didn't put it out to the people because, you know, we were shuffling around in here at Pine Creek Golf Course, and then Madison Blevins just straight up disrupted the radio show. So my rhythm is all out of whack. But I've never been in a fight, which I'm sure most people could probably figure out about me. A surprise to nobody. Rich is looking at me like in disgust. No, who am I going to fight? What do I got to fight for? No. There's no reason to get in a fight. Will, you've been in a fight. No, he's not. Well, that much we could have assumed. Rich, who is out here bare-knuckle brawling? Do me and Will? Yeah, okay, Rich is out here fighting, and Kirby is looking at us like, you know, he hosts Fight Club on the weekends at his house. Yeah, 100% he does. Never been in a fight, but I've witnessed fights in the stands at sporting events, but only from press boxes. Like, I've never been in the stands as a fan and seen a fight, but I've seen them, especially in Baltimore. To go to Baltimore, Ravens fans are nuts.
Some of these replies are amazing, though.
Well, the Ravens fans will fight the Ravens fans, like in the stand. Okay, read me some of the replies.
Wildside Production says, I was 8. My dad got us tickets to see the Phillies, so right there, you know this is good. And it was a big deal because Steve Carlton was pitching. It was also mini bat day. I was eating ice cream out of an Expos helmet, heard a noise, looked over, and all I saw was long blonde hair beating someone with a mini bat.
Oh, my God. So you've given the drunk fans in the stands a weapon. Yeah. I bet there's some kind of liability associated with that now. I bet you can't have, like, mini bat day anymore.
Fidelity Flip says, some Rangers fan kissed my girlfriend while I was buying himself and him a beer during a Preds game. She didn't tell me till we got to the bar later because she knew I would have tossed him down to the ice, sat there the rest of the game with everyone around knowing except me.
Shut up. Oh, my God.
That's, like, textbook definition of a tough scene.
why would you not tell your boyfriend? Why would you sit there in the seats?
Because she knew he would cause a scene and throw him on the ice.
Who cares?
Like a catfish.
Wouldn't you want... Wouldn't you want him to at that point?
Last
Do
one.
We have any other poll questions, or should we just keep reading these responses?
There's one more poll question, but I'll read one more. There's some good ones here. RJ right. says, AAU basketball game in Atlanta, third hard foul on my little cousin, and we stormed the bench. Me and the coach got arrested.
Oh, my God. Dude, AAU games, parents at AAU games, parents at youth sporting events, always reckless. Dear God, what's the last poll?
Who should Buck blame for today's technical difficulties? Kirby Allen, Kirby, me, Lucas, Tim Tebow, or Will Bowling? Tebow has taken it away by a landslide. 63% say Tebow. Me, it's 13% blame me, 13% blame Kirby, 11% blame Will Bowling.
Okay. Well, Tebow takes it in a landslide. He may be out here fighting human trafficking with Governor Bill Lee, but he's on my bleep list. Tim Tebow, I'm going to come after you, but not until Monday because the show's over. But the programming is not over because it's Plain and Mickey. They're coming up next.